We are actually at the end of the ninth midah, which still needs the finishing touches, which we didn't do. It's in the Talmud Devarim, the general ones that the Yoelim has. It's on Daf Chof Hei. Six lines from the very bottom, Vahatam. That's about where we ended. Vahatam. What the Talmud Devarim here is attempting to explain, saying this novel pshat on the ninth midah, v'sashlich b'metzulas yom kol chatoisam. V'sashlich b'metzulas yom kol chatoisam, that the Rabbi Nisholim, as it were, not simply meaning that he takes the averis of the Yidden and ultimately he throws them, he casts them to the depths of the sea, but it goes beyond that, speaking about something else entirely. That all the umas oilam, all the nations of the world that actually caused punishment to the Bnei Yisrael, that ultimately that punishment will fall on their own heads. The Sashlo b'metzulas yom, the Talmud Devarim pointed out that metzulas yom is synonymous with rishoyim, as he quoted various examples from Sukkim. So the Sashlo b'metzulas yom, that in fact on the metzulas yom, on the rishoyim, kol chatoisom, which means all that resulted from the chatoim of the Eden. All that resulted means all of the Einshim that resulted from the chatoim of the Eden, ultimately, at the end of the day, v'sashlich b'metzulas yom, all that will be cast upon them. And now he explains, why is it so? In other words, after all, if Eden were punished, it was because they were chayte, and therefore, on that level, they l'chayre deserve punishment. So why would the umas oilam, why would all of the nations of the world that were involved in meeting out that punishment on the Bnei Yisrael, why? Why should it revert back on their own heads? And that we know is a kasha that the Rishonim already asked regarding many situations. For example, by Paroi, Vavodim Vinu Oisoma was a gzeire. By the Brisbane Absurm, that Yidden would have to be enslaved by Paroi 400 years. And then the question is, so why? Why was Paroi punished for that, if that in fact was the gzeire? So this is something that's addressed both by the Rambam and the Cheshuv and by the Ramban himself. The Rambam, as a matter of fact, he points out and he says that Vavodim Vinu Oisom, that they will be Mitzrayim, it didn't say exactly which Mitzri, and in other words, we find that the Torah is telling us that this is going to happen, but technically speaking, there was no individual Mitzri that he had the obligation or the chiyuv to carry it out. This was already voluntarily that he decided he's going to be the one, and so on and so forth. Or as the Ramban says, and this, by the way, will be an idea that the Talmud Devarim also follows, that they did much more than that. Like we find Koshi HaShibud, the difficulty of the Shibud of the enslavement, which went above and beyond that which should have taken place. So for that extra oppression, and the extra persecution beyond that the Chet was Mechayev, it is for that that the Umas Oilam will again receive that punishment. But here we see, as he says, as follows. And these are words, basically, which need a lot of beer simply to understand what he's saying. But he says, as you see, Vahatam, the reason that those nations that meted out punishment on the Bnei Yisrael, why it will revert back to them, Vahatam mishim nipnei she'achar she'Yisrael kiblu hadin. First, we'll simply touch the words, and then we'll explain it. Because once it took place, once that the Bnei Yisrael already received that judgment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, misnachem afilu al mashi kodam. Hear this? It's as if to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets. How can you say such a thing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The whole idea of regret, that's a human error by decision making and the process of human intelligence. But we'll explain this. Because once judgment had taken place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnachem afilu al mashi kodam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, he reconsiders v'toivea el boinon, and therefore now he basically goes and he takes up for the honor. He takes up for the honor of the Bnei Yisrael who had to suffer all the insult. V'loi dai, and not only that, that's not the only reason why judgment falls again on the face of the Rishoyim who meted out the punishment, but ela aniko tzafti ma'at vehema ozru leroh. Because I angered only a little, and the nations of the world helped to do more evil than required, as it says in Ovi Zechariah. In other words, on a simple level, he is saying two things. Tamidvar is telling us that even though, it's a fascinating idea that he develops, that even though that Bishas Maise, Kodesh Baruch Hu was maskim that the Bnei Yisrael to be punished, Bishas Maise when it took place, because at that time there was a Hisgabrus of Midas Adin. It was at that time that the Midas Adin was Shoilet B'Yoylam. It was Midas Adin that was taking place, and in the realm of Midas Adin, the Midah of judgment, so Kodesh Baruch Hu was maskim that they be punished. However, the Shlit of Midas Adin basically is very short-lived. Midas Adin is very short-lived, relatively speaking. And therefore, as you know, as the Pesuk says in Tehillim, and we say this in the Davening, Kirega Be'apoy. Kirega Be'apoy. What does it mean, Kirega Be'apoy? That Kodesh Baruch Hu's fury, as it were, is only a rega. Could be a little long rega by our terms. But Kirega Be'apoy. And it means that right after when the Yidden received their punishment, immediately now Midas Rachmim prevails. Midas Rachmim moves them. Midas Adin moves out, and the Midah of Rachmim, the attribute of mercy, comes in. And when Midas Rachmim takes place, Midas Rachmim by definition means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, according to Midas Rachmim, has regret, as it were, for all the punishment that had to take place for Mafreya. As a result, it says V'toivei al boinon. Kodesh Baruch Hu now when Midas Rachmim prevails, after Midas Adin has moved out, and the place of Midas Adin has moved out, and now Midas Rachmim has come in. So now, through the Midah of Rachmim, what Midas Rachmim demands, the Hanhog of Midas Rachmim is such that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is misnachem, he reconsiders and has charotah, as it were, retroactively of all that took place, based upon the present Hanhog of Midas Rachmim. Midas Rachmim brings a retroactive hanhoge, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu now is toivei al boinam. So it takes up now for the honor of the Yidden who suffered at that time. As a matter of fact, you'll realize that this is not a strange idea that we say Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, again, this way we just understand it with our simple understanding, human understanding. As we say, we express ourselves, Kodesh Baruch Hu regrets, Kodesh Baruch Hu reconsiders. Where do you find this idea? You find it in Parshas Hazinu. In Parshas Hazinu, it says in Perek Lamed Beis, Ki Yodin Hashem Amoy, Hashem judges His people, and we'll just say later, Valavodav Yisnechom. Valavodav Yisnechom, and He has regret, as it were. What does it mean? Says Rashi, this is not two things. It's going on the end of the Pesuk, actually speaking about the exact same phenomenon that took place in the beginning of the Pesuk, namely, Ki Yodin Hashem Amoy. When Midas Adin prevails, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges. That's Midas Adin. Says Rashi, that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled the Yodin Hashem Amoy, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacted judgment, so Misnachem al Avodov, he regrets that he had to do it, so to speak, and now Midas Rachmim sets in. So now we have Midas Rachmim sets in, and according to Midas Rachmim, it invokes a retroactive response all the way back. Why at all it happened, all of the tzar and all of the suffering that they had to go through, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tevei al boinam. I just want to just read to you a few lines to see how far this goes. Again, from our perspective, I mean, we're just written in this way, that ways that we can relate to it. This is a hanhoge, this is a system, this is a discipline. In the way we understand it, as it were, we say, speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretting, there's nothing that he needs to regret. But being that this is now the discipline that's taking place, so from our human understanding, we express it as if it were HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets. But now this is the discipline. This is the order of the day. That when Midas Rachmim takes place, Midas Adin has been pushed out. So now a Hanhoged is taking now place, which works retroactively. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he says, Misnachem afila al mashe kodam, says the Talmud of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reconsiders even the initial punishment that took place. Now I want to tell you, when Churban Beis HaMikdash took place, now Kodesh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the Medrash says, it's incredible words, the Medrash says in Eicha, it says in the Psich of Eicha, in Chov Dalet, Perek Chov Dalet, Medrash says, Vayikra Hashem Elokim Tzavakos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called, Vayoyim Ahu Lebechi Lemispeid, a day of Bechiah, a day of sobbing, a day of crying, a day of mourning, the day of Churim Beis HaMikdash. Says the Medrash, a little bit is telling us what took place behind the scenes. And the Medrash says again, it's incredible. Medrash says, B'shoa shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehachriv his Beis HaMikdash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the time has come that the Beis HaMikdash has to be destroyed, Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the following statement, Kol man shani b'toichoi, Beis HaMikdash is the house of Hashem. Hashem says, as long as I am there, they can't destroy it. And yet the time has come to be destroyed. So Hashem says, Kol zman shani b'toichoi ein akum noigim boi. No one, no stranger, no enemy is able even to touch it. Ela ach bishes einim imenu. I will, so to speak, look away, turn a blind eye, the ejba, and I will, as it were, as if to say, I will impose an oath upon myself, as if I'm going to bind myself, Hashem is saying. I will swear, shloi ezka kloi, that I will not do anything to prevent anything ad eis keitz, until the time when Mashiach comes. V'yavoyu ho'ivim, and the enemy will therefore have an open door, v'yachrivu oisoi. Nu, so the Medrash says, miyad, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yeminoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, turned his back. Boisa Shah, at that moment, now the opportunity made itself available. Boisa Shah, Nichnasu Oivim Lehechol Visarfuhu. So the enemy comes in to the Hechol, to the Beis HaMikdash, and they burn it down. V'kivin Shenisraf. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiv Ein Li Moshe B'Yoretz, I have my house no longer here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as if it were, I pack my bags, I go up to heaven, I go up to Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein Li Moshe B'Yoretz, Asalik Shechinosi Mimenu. So I have to take my Shechina, I take my presence, V'Ela L'Mechoyni Arishin, I go back to my original place. Say Chazal, listen to this lotion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Boiche, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries. This is an expression in order we should be able to relate. We should be able to relate of what took place. But Hashem's attitude was, when this had to happen, Hashem, as it were, did not take it lightly. And the expression is, Hashem was crying, and Hashem said, Oy li, woe is unto me. Ma sisi. This is being expressed in human terms, as if a man says, what have I done? After you do something. And then sort of like you regret it, and you say, what have I done? And Hashem says, Ma sisi. The only reason I brought my Shechina down, I came to dwell down here on this world, Bishvil Yisrael. When the Malach Matat, this is the famous Malach in Shemayim, he's the Sar HaPnim, he's considered to be one of the top leaders of the Malachim, of the angels. Malach Matat sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu crying. So boy Sisho say Chazal, Bo Matatroin Venofal Aponot. The Malach Matat, he falls on his face. I'll cry instead of you. Please, don't cry. You don't cry. I will cry. You don't cry. I will cry, says Hashem. Says the Malach. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu further. He says, Livkois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malach, if you don't allow me to cry, ikonis lemokim, I will go even higher to mekaymis where the Malach is not, no reshus to follow. A Malach can only go so high, only so high. Hashem says, I will go even higher. As if Hashem says, I have to escape, you know, in order to be able to cry. The Malach Matav doesn't want to let me cry. So Hashem says, im ein ato meniach li livkois. Imagine such words. He says, Achshob, ikonis lemokim, she'en lucha reshus likonis ve'efke. Omalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'malach ha'shoris. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, Boyu v'neilach ani v'yatem. Let all of us go. V'nira b'beisi. Let's observe the damage. He says, Ma also even boyu what the enemy did. Miyad holach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, malach ha'shoris, v'yermiyohu l'fonof. And yermiyohu also. Yermiyah novi. V'kivim shiro HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Beis HaMikdash. Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zeh Beisi, this is my house. Bo'is Yisho HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bo'iche ve'oimer oili al Beisi. Woe is to what happened to my house. What do we see? What we see from here is that we have, on the one hand, we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu made a gzeira that the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed. But yet, as it were, there's such a enhoga, there's such a discipline of after the fact to be able to look back and say, what have I done? Again, this is beyond our understanding to understand, but this is a kind of an order, a kind of a discipline, a kind of a hanhoge. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ma Asisi. And that's exactly what the Talmud Devarim really is referring to here. That once Bnei Yisrael received din, once that they were the receivers of Midas HaDin, Kadosh Baruch Hu now, as it were, reconsiders and he says, what have I done? And now Midas HaRachmim sets in. And it goes so far that Kadosh Baruch Hu now is Toivea Elboinon. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes up for the honor. And Amele, he demands those that have perpetrated against the Bnei Yisrael that they themselves now be held accountable because of this now hanhoge of Midas HaDin. So this is, again, this is what the Torah Medvara tells us, and then he said, V'loi dai. But not only that, but another reason why the Umas Olam, why the nations of the world are going at the end of the day suffer the same punishment, because even though it was a gzeira to begin with, but as he says, Elani kotzafti mat, I have basically angered only a little, and they, v'heim ozru l'ra, and they helped more evil than required. In other words, this is the idea. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he says Toivea El Boinam, which is very interesting, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, he's Toivea, means he demands, he takes up for their embarrassment. El Boi means embarrassment. What it means in, Hashem not only punishes the nations of the world who meted out punishment, but does it in a way that it should be noticed, that they're being punished for what they did to the Jewish people. That's a step ahead, that's a step further. That's called Toivea El Boinam. That the judgment upon them will be such, not merely that they will be judged and they will be punished, but it will be done in a way that it will be seen. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it on behalf of the Jewish people, but Toivea El Boinam. It should be nicker that they are punished for what they did to us. It will become evident at the end of the day. And it is mentioned, as a matter of fact, in one of the Kadmoin of the Avudraham, no less, in the Rishonim, when we say in the Megillah, after everything that happened to Haman, as we know, on Purim, we say in the bracha, Harabas Rivenu, Kadosh Baruch Hu quarrels our quarrels, he takes up for us, he wages war for us, Harabas Rivenu, and then it says, Hanifra Lonu Mitzarenu. Doesn't say stam that he punishes our enemies. Hanifra Lonu, what is the Lonu? He punishes our enemies. Hanifra Mitzarenu. What is Hanifra Lonu? The Avudraham says it's coming to add something. Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing that the punishment on them is Lonu, is for us. It should be nicker to the world that all the misfortune that is going to befall them is taking place because Hashem is taking up honor for us, our honor. That is what the emphasis is on the Hanifra Lonu. So therefore now that we see this Hanhoge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how do we learn from this, as we always have at the end of the Midah? Well, Lachta Bedrocha, we have to emulate the ways of Hashem. So he continues now the Talmud of Aaron, he says, Gam B'Midah Zu. So here too, regarding this attribute, a person also should deal this way, should behave this way toward his fellow, that afila shehiya rosha miducha biyisurin, that even if you see someone who's basically, he's a wicked person and he was crushed through suffering, al yisneu, do not hate him, because once the man had suffered, he suffered enough. She'acha she'nikla, because once he already had been whipped, as we know by Malchus, harehu kachicho, he now becomes and like your regular brother. And therefore, v'yikarev ha'mordim v'hanenoshim, one should befriend those who were rebellious and have been punished, v'yirachim aleihem, and have mercy on them. V'adrabe yatzilem yedoyev, whatever you can to save them from their enemies, v'alyoyma, and don't say, it serves you right. Not when you see that he's suffering, say, okay, it serves you right that you're suffering. But rather say, being that he suffered, he says, now it's time that I should befriend him. V'alyoyma, avoyna gorom lei, el yirach mehu b'midazu. But in fact, you should have this rachmonis as we find the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with it. So again, so we learn from the Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means, the Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, right after Midas Adin takes place, Rachmim sets in. That should be the attitude that we should also have. When we see that Erosh has suffered, so the response, the after response should be that now comes the time for Rachmim. And don't say, okay, it serves you right, and therefore, you know, continuous punishment should always be on your head forever and forever. But rather, this is an opportunity to now say, Minisadin took place, now is now the time for Minisarachim to take place. This again, this was the midah we see about Kodesh Baruch Hu, and now this is the midah that we should try to emulate Hashem in the same way. So this basically, as we see, this was the ninth midah. So therefore now, let's take a look, Rabbi Yisrael, we move into the tenth one. It's quite a short one, but sort of a mouthful. And again, this needs to be explained, as we will see. It needs some interpretation here. But again, first, let's take a look at the simple meaning of the words. Hayud, the tenth midah is Titein Emes LeYaakov. Titein Emes LeYaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives truth, he presents truth when he deals with Yaakov. Titein Emes LeYaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with midas or emes. LeYaakov. When you use the terminology of Yaakov, Yaakov, we know, is not exactly the same as when we say Yisrael. Yisrael is referring to a higher madrege. We're talking about Yidden. We're talking about Jews who are on a higher level, Yisrael. From the Loshin Kisari, Soy Melakim Vimanoshim, that you are like a sar, like a minister. Yaakov is from Loshin Ekev, the heel. He's talking about Yidden who are Beinonim, or Stam Poshet Yidden. So, the term of the word tells us that midazu, when you talk about Titein Emes LeYaakov, he's telling you sheyesh leYisrael Maila. He says the quality of the Jewish people is that oisam habeinonuim. Those beinonim means even people who are average people, people who are average in their madrega of ruchnius, people who are beinonim, who are in the middle of the road. They are average people in their spiritual life. Meaning, she'enam yoidim lehisnaig lifnim mishuras adin. People who don't know how to go beyond the letter of the law. They basically do as is written, and they are yoitze. They do exactly. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I stick to exactly to what I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't volunteer to go and move ahead, to do beyond the letter of the law. These people are basically average people, who basically do according to the letter of the law. Behem nekroim Yaakov. These people are called Yaakov. Mipnei, he says, these people are called, because Yisrael is referring to a higher level, and they are called Yaakov. And you know, when you talk about Yaakov, of course, Yaakov comes from Yaakov Avinu, and we know the midah of Yaakov Avinu was truth. Yaakov Avinu is symbolic of absolute truth. That is the midah of Yaakov. It means that when we talk about a Beinoni, by the way, when we talk about a Beinoni, we say he's an average Yid. An average Yid is an average Yid, but he deals with truth. If he doesn't deal with truth, then he's not an average Yid. He's below that. So when we talk about Yidden who are like Yaakov, it means that they are Yidden. Mipni she'enam nisyan nahagim elo im hanhoge amitis. They conduct themselves with the midah of truth. They conduct themselves with the midah of truth. So gama kodesh baruch hu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, yesh lo midas emes. Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with those people also with the midah of truth. Shehu, which means al tzad mitzius hamishpot hayosher. It means that Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with the quality of truth when it comes to the area of judgment and yosher, which means judgment which carries with it judgment, and what's called yosher, that which is upright. The ilu heima misnagim mebeoilam beyosher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself this way because they, these people, when they conduct themselves with their fellow man, and in general, they are misnagim the world with uprightness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnagim ohem beemes, with truth, merachem aleim, and he has rachmonis on them al tzad hayoshev amishpot. He's mixing here a lot of things. He's talking about truth, he's talking about mishpot, and then he's talking about rachmonis, and he's talking about yosher. There's so many things that he mentions here, which is quite confusing. So let's just, for starters here. First of all, for starters, when we say that Yaakov, of course, is talking about the average Yid. The average Yid is called Yaakov. We know that Yaakov Avinu, of course, represents the Maisa of the similar bonim. We learn from the Yanoge. Yaakov Avinu is supposed to show the way of how every Yid is supposed to conduct himself. He's the Meir Derech. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, by the way, was the single was the only one of the others who we find was involved in things what's called in Yonim of Derech Eretz. You find all the history in the narration, how he dealt with Beis Lavan, how he dealt with sheep and so on and so forth. Because the average Yid in his life, right, is involved with business, is involved with economics, he's involved with his life of Parnosa. That he's out in the world and he's dealing with the world. Yaakov Avinu, who represents the average Yid, so to speak, he's supposed to be the Maitza of Ovesim and Labonim. His life also was a life that dealt with these things that people in general are going to have to be Isaac with, people are going to be involved with. And Yaakov Avinu wanted to show every Yid how a Yid is supposed to conduct himself when he's out there in that business world, in the same way. In spite of the fact that Lavan cheated him, but Yaakov Avinu did not cheat Lavan. Yaakov Avinu, he speaks out very clearly how faithfully he served Lavan. Didn't make a difference, rain or shine or snow and hail, no matter what the circumstances were. He did not detract in any area, but he served him loyally, even though he was cheated many, many times over. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu, as it were, you don't find the Lifnim Mishuras Adin. For example, Lifnim Mishuras Adin, he might have said, you know, Esav should get the Bechorin. Maybe I feel I should get it, but listen, Esav is the older brother or anything like that. Yaakov Avinu did not, he felt that since maybe Al-Pidin, I should get it, I'll take it away from him. Or when it came to situations with Lavan, with Tzayin, Yaakov Avinu basically dealt with Lavan Al-Pi Aloche. He was not Mevater to Lavan, he was not knowing with them Lifnim Yeshuras Adin. This is the mid of Emes L'Yaakov, which is the Anhoge, the general Hoge that every Yid is supposed to be knowing is that way. The average Yid. This is the average Yid that's expected to conduct himself in that way. So if the question is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Yidden who basically conduct themselves with truth, Midas HaEmes, and he's talking about Anoshim Beinanim. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now to deal with them also with Midas HaEmes, what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merachem Aleihem? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore deals with them with mercy. What does that mean? How do you, Rachmim and Din, these are two things. Rachmim, Rabbi Isai, is something which is not necessarily the truth. Rachman means I have mercy. I have rachmanis, which means maybe I'll be midas adin. You don't deserve mercy. You don't deserve. You deserve something else. But Rachman says, because I have rachmanis, that's why I'm going to deal with you in a merciful way. But here he's telling us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with them with emes, with truth. The truth hurts. The truth is insensitive. Truth is cold. Truth is something which is a fact. This is what it is. So what does it mean? He says in one breath that the Yidden who conduct their lives be'oilon be'yosher, he says, Elohim ha'misnagim be'oilon be'yosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnagim on be'emes, and then he says right away, Merachem aleihem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on them, al tzad ha'yosher v'ha'mishpot. How does it work? How does rachmanim with truth, how does these two things mix? Truth is one thing. Truth is what it is. Whether it hurts or it doesn't hurt, it is what it is. And how does Rachmim, therefore, become mixed in with the Hanhoge of truth? The truth is, when you have human laws, human laws, the judges basically, who are appointed from the Melech, whether it is a king in days when you had kingdoms and you had kings, and the king appointed judges and so on and so forth, and there's laws which is sanctioned and maybe even written. This is the law of the land. Melech has laws. You are the judges. You have to carry out those laws. There are certain situations that you know that this situation does not exactly fit that type of punishment that the law would dictate, because it's not the exact circumstance. In other words, laws are written with certain wording. But laws also, there is the intent of the law. There's a reason why this law was given. So you have many situations. According to the letter of the law, this situation deserves punishment. But if you look at the intent of the law, this situation is not the same kind of a situation. Judges basically have no right to interpret or to go by the intent of the law. They have to follow the letter of the law. Because if every judge will say, you know what, I believe the intent was this, and then someone else will say the intent was this, sooner or later, one day you're going to have anarchy. Everybody's going to have his own interpretation. Listen, This is the word, this is the way it's written, this is the way the code is written, and you have to apply it. Now, even though there might be an intent all the way from the initial, what's the purpose of it? And maybe it doesn't, this particular case doesn't exactly fit it. Doesn't exactly fit it according to the intent of the law. But you can't go by the intent. You have to go by what the law says. The law says if this and this happens, you got to do this and this. Even though if you go by the intent, a particular situation would not deserve this type of a punishment. On the other hand, the Melech himself, when he sits in judgments, he has the right. He has the right. He knows the intent of that law. Especially if he's the author of the law. He's the one who controls that law. He says, yes, the law is written this and this, but there's a reason for it. And this particular case does not fit the reason for this law. So therefore, this particular situation will not go under the jurisdiction of that law. So therefore, what the term Devar is telling us, there's what's called Emes and it's called Yosher. Because Baruch Hu wants Emes. But however, you could have Emes. You can have truth. Now, if you follow the letter of the law, you follow truth. But it's not Yosher sometimes. Because if the intent of the law was something else, so by carrying out the letter of the law, you maybe are carrying out truth based upon the wording of the law, but if the situation does not fill the intent of the law, you may not have the Yosher. You don't have the just. You don't have the justice within it. You don't have the Yashris. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he looks at Emes with all of the side issues which affect the outcome of a situation. The Emes, the total Emes is when you look at a total picture. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks not only on Emes, but Emes in the framework of Yosher, which means that Mitzad HaYosher you have to paskin according to taking in consideration all of the Cheshbonos, all of the situations that come into play to see, does it in fact, is it fair that this punishment should fit this Aveira? Maybe according to the exact wording of the law, this Aveira deserves this punishment. But if you take all of the side factors, what brought him to do this Aveira? What is the cause of this Aveira? Why did it happen? How did it happen? Maybe he does not deserve this punishment. According to the strict wording of the law, he does. But according to the Yashris, taking all of the information that's needed, all the underpinnings of the law, then in such a situation, he would not get that punishment. That is what it means. It's the Emes which is defined with the Yashris. Because the Emes itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Emes demands it should be an Emes based on Yashris. Based upon taking consideration everything to really see whether this is true, that this punishment in fact fits this particular Aveira. For example, when you talk about tshuva, we need to talk about the whole concept of tshuva when we talk about. But tshuva Rabbeinu Yoina talks about is also based upon yosher. What do you mean yosher? It's appropriate that tshuva should help. Why? And he says the following lashon, shar tshuva shar aleph, he says, his hiram lo shuv elof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually warned and encourages a yid to the tshuva, ki yechtu loy, when they sin to him, l'roiv tuvoy v'yoshroi. Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Toiv and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yashris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what's appropriate, and the appropriate thing is that a Yid should be able to do tshuva. Why? Because Ki Hu Yodeya Yitzron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that a Yid has a Yetzer Hara. So being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that a Yid has a Yetzer Hara, he has this evil inclination. He has these instincts. He has these drives. And therefore, after he sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels it's appropriate. There's the Yashris that tshuva should help. So we see that the midah of tshuva, the inyan of tshuva, is from the midah sayyosher. Since the Kadosh Baruch Hu understands and knows the yetzer hara of a person, so therefore he prepared a derech for tshuva. So this is not a steer with the midah soemes. You'll say midah soemes, the man sinned, so let him receive his punishment. But Yashris demands that even though he sinned, Yashris demands that he should be allowed to do tshuva, should be able to do tshuva. And of course, if he does it, so the same idea is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is noyik with this type of a midah, which each Yid in Bnei Yisrael, that even Beinonim, even a Yid who is a Midah Beinoni, because Baruch Hu does not merely, quote, follow the exact letter of the law, but takes in consideration to see whether it is Yashris for him. If this particular person really deserves it, taking all the aspects of the Aveira, all the details into consideration, because that ultimately becomes the truth in this man's situation. The truth for this man's situation is not just to look at the Mais Aveira, but to look at all the encompassing and all of the sibas that brought to it. That's called Emes La'amitoi. Not some truth, just looking. He did this is punishment. But Emes La'amitoi means the all-encompassing truth. taking all the aspects, all of the details that were involved, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to take and know all of the cheshbayinus, all of the things in a person's life that brought him to this point to do this avera, right? To do this avera, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals this way. So we go further, and then we'll come back to one or two in the kudis. So he says, "Gam kein odom." So therefore, it behooves ourselves in our own conduct. The gam kein odom tzorich lisnagim chaveru al tzad hayoyisher v'ha'emes. We should also act towards our fellow in a way that is upright and true. B'li lahatos mishpat chaveru. Don't pervert justice. Sometimes we're very quick to jump. Maybe you can be damakav tzchus. Maybe you can judge him favorably. Maybe look at the entire situation. Don't just look at the dry act that someone may have done to you. And right away you come perverting justice. But rather look at the emes lamitoi. Look at the yashrus of your attitude towards him. Not just look at the dry maise. Just looking in isolation the act that the person did. The same as the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at the entire person in terms of all the details and everything else to see whether in fact did this man really violate the spirit of the Avera. Maybe he actually did the Avera. But looking at the whole circumstance and the situation, maybe he didn't really violate the spirit of the Avera. And therefore would not be yashrus to say that he's actually a full Baal Chayt in the full sense of the word sometimes. In the same way, we should also do the same thing towards our fellow person, our fellow man. The Rachim Olo Be'emes. Also to have Rachmonos, Kamo Shem Shem Yizborach, Merachim Ala Briyos HaBeinoniyos. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmonos even on people of average nature. The Midas Emes L'Sakenoisam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Midas of Emes to the end. Emes La'amitoi. Truth which is truth in all aspects. Because looking only at one part of something is not really looking at the whole truth. You have to look at the whole truth. Looking just as an act, a particular act in isolation, maybe you saw that act, but you're not looking at the whole truth. You have to look at the whole truth. That is emes, which is together combined, which is combined with the ashrus. There is another idea here, which is brought down. It's called a sefer called Limudei Derech, and to point out the idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people who are the Beinoniyim, as he calls them, people of average nature. People of average nature, but they deal with truth. They don't go lifnim mishuras hadin, they don't go beyond the letter of the law, but they act erlich, and they act emesdik. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu also acts with them emesdik, but emesdik with yosher. And therefore, when you have emes with yosher, it is an emes which is mixed, as we said, with rachamim as well. To understand how that works. How does emes and rachamim come together? How does it work? The idea, if you talk about rachmonis on the one hand, and then you say it's Rachmonos, but it's Yosher and Mishpat. See, I already said, it begs the question, how can you have Rachmonos and then have Yosher and Mishpat at the same time? If it's Rachmonos, then it's not Mishpat. Mishpat is Digduk Bedin, is very exacting, is very precise. It's a discipline. The idea is, if we take a look, similarly, we find, actually, Michtam Elio, we find by Rav Dessler, where he brings down, and we don't have this on the Shito, he says that Midas Arachimim, interesting, is called truth. He says Midas Arachimim is called truth. He says, how can Midas Arachimim be called truth? If a person really did something wrong, and you want to use Midas Arachimim, how can you say it's called truth? According to truth, he did something wrong. Maybe he deserved to be punished in this instance. There's from Rav Goldwicht, there's a sefer that's called Asufis Marochis of Chaim Yankel Goldwicht. It was a Talmud of Revelva Brisker. Many, many years ago, in the old shul, he once gave a drasha here in Abbas Medrash. It was Rosh Hashiv in Kerbiyadne, but it was the Talmud of Rav Velva Brisker. He wrote a sefer called Asufis Marochis, it's called. Niyonim of Yom Neroim. He said, Bama says there's a difference between Rachamim and Rachamim. There's two types of Rachamim. One Rachamim can be problematic, could be a contradiction to the idea of Mishpat. And then you have a kind of Rachamim, which is not at all, it's not a contradiction to the idea of Mishpat. And he points out as follows, he says, imagine, he says, if you have officers, or you have judges, he says, you have two people who have stolen money. They have robbed. So, from one person they go, to one person they say, you know what? You have to pay back. You have to pay a fine. You're being punished. You robbed. You stole. You have to make retribution. You have to restore all the money that you took. And then, another person who did the exact same thing, they leave him off the hook. They know him. He has connections. Of course, this is a great injustice. How can you have such a thing? Two people doing the exact same thing. One of them, right? One of them is being is being judged harshly, and the other one being left off the hook. Obviously, there's no room for that. So he said, but can you imagine? I'll give you the same example. Two people doing the exact same thing, and yet the attitude towards one is totally different than the other. And that would be, he says, the following example. He says, can you imagine that a person, let's say, goes onto a bus. I haven't been on a bus for a long time, so maybe here's something, maybe I'm missing something here. There's a person that is riding a bus. He goes onto a bus. And of course, he has to pay a fare. So he's paying a fare, and with good honorable intentions, he puts his hand into his pocket, and he just realizes he left his wallet at home. He's not sure if that really happened. So now he empties out every pocket that he has, his jacket and his pants, everything. And then he realizes that, in fact, yeah, now he remembers. He remembers that he left his wallet at home. So he figures, maybe I have some money elsewhere. So again, he keeps searching any pocket that he has. He doesn't find anything. No wallet, and there's no money. What does he do? What does he do? He turns around and he's ready to walk off the bus. He says, I have no money to pay. I can't ride to go off the bus. The driver, he saw this was an honest mistake. He says, this man, he wants to pay. He wanted to pay. As a matter of fact, for 5 minutes, he was searching in every pocket for the fare. He's not paying, not because he wanted to rob the fare, he wanted to steal a ride. He's not paying. An accident happened. He couldn't help it. What does he say to him? He says, you know what? Come on the bus. Maybe you'll pay me next time. And he lets him ride on the bus. Nobody would have a problem, most likely, that this person got away with having a free ride. Everybody understands that what happened here, that this was an accident. This is something that this is not what he wanted to happen. This is a situation that he was caught up. Nobody have a problem with this kind of a rachmonis. Why? Because this person, matter of fact, wanted to suffer the consequences. You saw he was ready to walk off the bus. He didn't want to take a free ride. So his intentions were not to go and take advantage without paying that fare. He wanted to be koil himself in what is called, in this case, the midas adin. What would be the midas adin for him? Get off the bus. He was ready to accept the din. He was ready to accept the din. You know what? There's room for rachman for you. Because you are not here to beat the system. You are not here to ride on midas adin. I mean, it's a rachman. Matter of fact, you wanted to take the consequences. Now, you deserve rachmanis, he says. This is the idea. This is the idea. Such a person deserves rachman bedin. Api midas adin, he deserves midas rachman. However, if someone from the start is trying to rob the system, suddenly he tries to stow away, he tries to get on, and then he's caught, and then the driver says, you know what, here, take a free ride. That would be unfair. This would be rachmim shloi bedin. There's rachmim bedin, and there's rachmim which is shloi bedin. The truth is, there are people, when they do an avera, they have so much sorrow for the avera, that they understand that they deserve a type of a punishment. They understand the situation that they are in. They understand that they have to pay. They have to pay for the ride. They have to pay for whatever that happened. They are not expecting a free ride. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? In your situation, he says, being that you're ready to accept it, the Midas Hadin, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, the emes is that you deserve Rachman Badin in this situation. Because you weren't here, Taki, to try to get away with anything. You really understood the consequences of your actions. And now you're stuck. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is Rachman Badin. U'moide v'oizev, as we say, Taki, in the video, somebody who is moide. The Yosef didn't understand that he did wrong. The din is that he deserves rachim yeruchim. This is a rachim al pi emes. This is a rachim al pi yosher. But those people who simply say, Rabbi Yisrael, have rachmanis on me. That's it. Rachmanis on me. Aloy dover. For that, you don't get rachmanis just like that. Have rachmanis on me. A person who is ready to understand that he really deserves din, and he's ready to accept din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? He says, you're not here. You're not here to take advantage of the system. And you know what? In such a situation, there is the idea what we have, which is called Rachmin Badin. And the truth is, if we take a look at the sheet that we have, let's take a look. The whole idea of Yesurim and punishment. which is very, very fascinating on two levels, and we take a look. First item we have is from Chaim Shmulevich, Shmir Rosh Yeshiva, in Sichas Musar, it's Maimer Yudalad in Tovshin Lamed Beis. Chaim Shmulevich starts off and to tell us a very, very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Isabis and Hedron Daf Kufala from Adalas, Tonu Abonon. Kishachol Rab Lezer, when Rab Lezer got sick, he took ill. Nechnesu Arbo Zekanim Levakroi. So four Zekanim went in. Four Zekanim went in to be Mavakar Choyle. Reb Tarfim, Reb Yeshua, Reb Loza Ben Azariah, Reb Akiva. These were four Talmidim. So Neno Reb Tarfim Viomar. Reb Tarfim spoke up. And he saw the Rebbe, they saw Reb Lezer as he was sick. He saw he's lying in bed. Viomar Reb Tarfim is saying, you are more beneficial, you are more needed, he says, than typical gishom, than a drop of rain. As important as a drop of rain is to the world, you are even more important. The Jewish people need you. That's what Reb Tarfon said. Then Rabbi Yeshua v'yomar, Reb Shua spoke up and he said, you are more important to the Jewish people more than the wheel of the sun. The sun that makes its revolutions. The functioning sun. You are more important than the functioning sun. Nen Rabloza ben Azariah v'yomar. Toivato li Yisrael, you are better and most needed. Yosem Yaveim. It seemed like everybody wanted to outdo the other how important the Rebbe is. Everybody's trying to give a different example. How choshev the Rebbe is. You're more important. You're more important than a father and a mother. Then Rabbi Kiva, and then Rabbi Kiva departs and says something totally different. The Yomani says, Chavivim Yisurim. Yisurim is Agitizach. When you go to be Mavaka Choyle, never say someone, it's good for you. Never say that. Never say that. Chavivim Yisurim. Don't try that. What does Rabbi Kiva mean? Here you have the Rebbe there suffering. Suffering. His final moments. Everybody's saying something nice, each and every Talmud. And what does he say, Rabbi Kiva? Chavivim Yisurim. And you think that Rabbi Lezer was upset? Rabbi Lezer was upset. So first of all, Omalem Rabbi Lezer says, when he hears this last comment, he says, Samchuni, he says, help me up, help me sit up, he says. I want to hear what my Talmud Rabbi Kiva has to say. Profound words, Chavivim Yisurim. Ve'eshmo diva Rabbi Kiva, shoma Chavivim Yisurim. Omalezer said to him, Akiva zuminayin loch. How do you know that? Notice, instead of being upset, he says, I want to find out more about that. Chavivim Yisurim, I want to know something. I want to study the parasha, the world of Yisurim, the definition of Yisurim, the world of suffering. I want to understand the meaning of suffering. Everybody's busy with that. Books are written on that. Omalezi says, Mikra Nidairish, and he quotes a posik. Fine. Go to the next paragraph. Says Rabbi Chaim, first of all, what were they all trying to do when each one was making a statement, Toivatul Yisrael, you are better. You are better than this. You are better than that. More important than the sun. So he says, first of all, Kulam ledovrecha nischavnu. All of them basically try to achieve the same point. Namely, in other words, Bama sheshibchus rabom. The fact that they praised the Rebbe, vihishveyu, and they compared him either likshomim to rain ulgalgolchamo, or to the function of the sun. The idea was, lahadgish at kamo Yisrael tzvichinloi. In other words, the Talmidim were trying to make a case to the Rabbeinu Shloilem why Reb Lezer does not deserve to die yet, because the world needs him. If we can make a good case to the Rabbeinu Shloilem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why a person is needed on this world, he won't leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it. Might accept it. So each one was trying to make a case why he's needed. The Jewish people needs him. One says, look, can the world exist without a sun? Impossible. Without a functioning sun. So that one Talmud was saying, Rebbe, you're more important to the Jewish people than the functioning sun. In other words, we can't exist without you. That's making a case. Or in the same way as a person needs a father and a mother. A person needs a father and a mother. So Rebbe, we can't survive the same way that we need a father and a mother. You're more important even. We need you. Rain, you can't survive without rain. Rebbe, as much as rain is important to survival, you are more important. They were speaking to Shemayim, actually. They were saying it in his presence. But they were speaking to Hashem, making a case to Hashem to be Me'er Rachmanes Rachmi Shemayim. The Kibbutz to see how much he's needed. Well, derech shomru b'ksubas, we find something in the Ksubas, the Gemara says, tachtoinim mevakshim misrebi. Tachtoinim means the lower world. Rabbeinu Kodesh was sick, and Shemayim was trying to whisk Rebbe's neshama, to take it up to Shemayim. So the Talmidim down here were opposing the forces of Shemayim to justify Rebbe's existence longer on this world. Tachtoinim mevakshim misrebi. We need him. And the emissary is v'hi ikir matorat mitzvahs bikur cholim. The truth is, when you go to visit a sick person, what's bikur cholim for? It's not just to make him feel good. It's very important to make him feel good. But the main purpose of bikur cholim, most of us miss the point. The main purpose of bikur cholim is because when you see the matzav of the cholim, lehispalel olav sheyisrape, to be mispalel. By the way, this is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, Mufurish. It's not just hashkofa, it's a musa here. The idea is to be mispalel, because it means to gemar nedarim and so on. Fine. So we understand what the three Talmidim, we understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to emphasize the Cheshivas. Why we need, you're more important than Kshomim, more important than an Aveim. They were trying to make a case why the world needs them. But what was Rabbi Akiva trying to do? Chavivim Yisurim, it's fine. Chavivim Yisurim, Yisurim is a great thing. What was he trying to do? What did Rabbi Akiva try to achieve with that statement? This is up in Platz Yitzhizum. This is the place you say it. What was he trying to do? He says, "Yesh bein dvarav l'divra chaveirov." By the way, he's saying something totally out of character. Each one is saying the other. The first three are saying the same thing, but just different examples. How important Reb Lezer's life here to this world? Reb Akiva was totally out of step. He was saying something totally different, not in line with what they were saying. And what was he saying? Should he also not have made a case why we need Rebbe? Should he also not have made a case like them? He also has a chiv to be mispalel for his Rebbe. Umakavon Rabbi Kiva b'amirazu. V'nir Eloimer says, Rabbi Chaim, he's a moir digizach with Rabbi Chaim. Rabbi Chaim says, Rabbi Kiva rotz Eloimer. Now look what Rabbi Chaim says. Sha yisurim koi chashuvim v'chavivim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends yisurim, there's a purpose. And being that yisurim is a purpose, v'toyaloso meruba. The toyalos, the benefit is so great. As the Gemara said above, we just skipped it above. The benefits of Yisurim. However, says Reb Chaim, now listen to this. Yisurim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yisurim, Yisurim are beneficial only if you get the message. If you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. A person all of a sudden gets up in the morning, he has a pain in his right leg. There's a reason for that. But you know what? Most of the time, we don't know what the reason is. Maybe Medafet is misakins on something that has to do with the foot. Maybe you came late to shul. Should have stepped on the gas a little bit stronger. Or maybe you should have got out of bed. Maybe that should have had a back pain, maybe. I don't know. Different type of a pain. There's a message there. Because Yisurim is sent for a profound reason. Yisurim from Loshen Musar. But if you don't know the reason, so you're suffering for nothing. Suffering for nothing! So Rabbi Kiva was saying, as much as we need a Rebbe for so many different things, to teach us this, to teach us that, more important than anything, we need a Rebbe to teach us the meaning of suffering, why we suffer. So he's actually saying the same thing that they are saying. They are making a case we need him because he's more important than rain. He's more important than Aveim. But he keeps saying we need a Rebbe to teach us what Yisurim is. A day doesn't go by hardly that someone isn't suffering. They're suffering. We need a great man like you, Rebbe, who really knows and understands. Because Chavivim Yisurim. How should we lose such a treasure if we have no one to interpret Yisurim? We are losing something that's so Chaviv. Yisurim is so Choshev. But if you don't get the message, then it's for nothing. So, says Reb Chaim, Ach b'chdei lehofik es ha-toyelet, to be able to be mamzi, to produce the toyelet ha-ritzuyim and ha-yisurim. Lekach gufa tzrichen onu l'rav. We need a Rebbe for that itself. From all the things that a Talmud receives from his Rebbe, the most choshev thing that a Talmud receives from a Rebbe that you learn, a Rebbe can teach you, he says, all of Masechtas Bava Kama. But Rabbi Chaim says, if a Rebbe can teach you the meaning of your Yisurim, that's more important. That's even greater teaching. That's even Chavivim Yisurim. Because you have no idea with Yisurim, the benefit of Yisurim. But if you don't know what it means, if you don't know what the message is, what Hashem wants from you, then you're losing it. You're missing the point, you're losing a treasure. And so on and so forth. This is what Reb Chaim points out. Okay, that's Yisurim. So So there's a message. There's a reason for Yisurim. Turn the side now, quickly. Take a look. Let's see what Rav Dessler says about Yisurim. Let's look at Michtam Eliyahu, Chelik Aleph. It's on Amud 13. Says Rav Dessler, V'ato Nasim and Olev, it's in the middle of an essay. Let's pay attention, says Rav Dessler. Im Yuvu Shnei Ganovim Lifnei HaShoifet L'Shoftam. Imagine if two Ganovim, two robbers, are brought before a judge to be judged. V'yachko V'yimso, and they investigate, and it turns out they're both guilty. It turns out, Kigon V'Shneim, that they both robbed. V'ru'uyim She'yusmu B'masar, and both deserve to be thrown into jail. V'ine Hizboinin HaShoifet El'Sibis HaPesha. So now the Shoifet, the judge, tries to analyze what is the cause. What is the cause of these transgressions? Well, I actually saknon. Maybe we can fix him. Let's find out what brought the person right to this point. Maybe you can fix it. Sheyichyu chayim yisharim. Maybe you can rehabilitate this person. V'layasu oveloid, and will not repeat the offense. Mibli som oisam abeis akela. Maybe instead of throwing him to prison and he learns nothing, maybe a judge knows, I know of an institution, maybe send him over there. And now he'll become a better person. So instead of punishing him for the crime, just throwing him in one place, maybe let's find out what's the reason, what's the cause, and we can send them someplace else to fix the cause and become a productive member of society. The purpose of the judge is not stand to take nekama. We punish him no matter what. That shouldn't be the purpose. The kavanah should be to repair the person, the avla, so yuchlu latzis ra'oid. So vayehi b'chokre al peshach dover. So the shofet, the judge, investigate to find out each one's crime, because the reasons, the causes are not the same, even though both two people can do the exact same crime, but the causes could be different. So he investigates both of them, the yimtzo, and he finds out. Ki u'echod, that one of them happens to be ben anoshim nechbodim v'toivim hu. He finds that one happens to come from a wonderful family. V'chol kreiv of all his relatives, Anoshim Yesharim, are straightforward people. What happened was, this person, in spite of coming from such a wonderful family, he made a bad connection, a bad friend. A bad friend can do it to you. Bad influence. Chovera, he had Eze Chovera, Asher Heshis Oyselachti, that basically persuaded him to sin. However, Omnom, but the judge understands, if we put him under the domain of his parents, under their hashpo, under their influence, he understand he made a mistake, put him back in the wonderful home that he's from, let them basically observe him, let them watch over him, let them be on top of him, and he'll turn back into a good citizen as he really comes from, that he would be expected to be. Wouldn't it be better to do that rather than just stand to throw him into prison with other criminals and he comes out learning nothing than just to throw him into jail? So that was ganav number one. Now he investigates the cause of the second ganav. He realizes he has no one. He has no appropriate people to be good influence to learn. Now, if you just leave him off the hook without any punishment, he'll definitely will not stop. He'll never stop doing bad. So the judge basically thinks what is the best thing. He couldn't find any other eitzah. La davoino means to his regret, to his dismay, to throw him into jail. Now here you have two people did the exact same thing. Was he playing favoritism, that one he left off the hook and one he didn't? It was not favoritism. He did the right thing for each person in his situation. For the one who has a chance of being rehabilitated, for the one who comes from a family, from a one who is able to find good influence in his life, put him back where he belongs, under their observation, under their tutelage. That's the best thing for him. There's no reason just stump to throw him into jail. The other one, though, hasn't got from whom to learn. Doesn't have that kind of a family. Maybe his parents are like him. His uncles are like him. It's all the same. There was no other eitzah. You have to punish him. So they throw him to jail. Ruth Radesla said, the same thing with the chait, with doing an aveira. Two people can do the exact same aveira, and Hashem deals with each one differently. Look what he says. This is the example. This is the marshal. So he says, Hatzira has said this example. He says, Niflu Moid. He says, it's an incredible, he says. It's an incredible example that I've given you. Look how beautifully he touches this. I want you to understand midas hadin and midas harachamim. Ve'echshneihem emes gemura. We were talking about how can both be true. How can rachamim and emes be true? Emes says he deserved to be punished, don't you think? He did the avera, he did the avla. So how can midas hadin and rachamim both be true at the same time? Either he deserves din, or he doesn't deserve din. But how can you just have rachamim to overturn din? How does it work? He says, I want you to understand how midas hadin and midas rachamim works. Ve'echshneihem emes gemura, both are emes. Hina Hashem Yisborach, you have to understand the fundamental. You have to understand, for starters, Hashem doesn't punish just to punish. There's no such thing. Hashem's not interested in punishing you. Hina lo yachpois b'mois hameis, Hashem does not want. He's not interested that the person die. Kim b'shuva imedarko v'choya, what Hashem wants that the person does tshuva. Halavai does tshuva and live. However, Hashem knows, are you going to do tshuva? If I let you, if I give you more life on this earth, Ahu boichin lei v'choyke kloy, that your mizbarach goes, plummets to the depth of a person's psyche. L'das mi oimed hulatz tshuva. He understands who has the potential of doing tshuva, who does not have a potential. It's like the ben soira moira, right? Where even Chazal explained that the Torah understood this particular person's behavior. It's beyond. This is the way his behavior has been assessed. Because Baruch Hu knows and understands each situation. Where this person is at in his life, does he have a potential to do tshuva or not? Umi rochek hu memeno, from whom tshuva is a far cry. V'lo yisukin, and therefore this particular person will not rectify. Bilti miyanishu hu ainishmar. Unfortunately, this person will not wake up unless he's punished. There are certain people, that's the only thing they understand. Nothing else will bring them back. Loif and achroim. Oh, so when Hashem punishes, we call it midas hadin. When Hashem punishes, Hashem saw there's no other etzah for this person. We say, oh, this is midas hadin. Why do we call it midas hadin? Kinira, because we saw that the hand of Hashem, shepoigaz b'yad Hashem l'hanishoy. We saw the hand of Hashem to punish him. The truth is, midas harachmim also agrees. This is not just midas hadin. Because for this person, this is the best thing for him. The only thing that's going to wake him up is a clapping cup. He's not going to say, this is not midas hadin. We call it midas hadin. Because we say the hand of Hashem was pegay on him. That's midas harachmim as well. When a person is sick and he needs surgery, bring someone going back from the 10th century, when he did not do operations, take him into a modern operating room and just show him how they cut up a person and they operate the pieces, and he'll say, what are you doing to the guy? He won't understand that this is rachman. The person's on the operating table, is under the knife, and you're cutting organs left and right. Someone who never saw an operation will think that this is the most cruel thing that you're doing, but this is rachman. We call it midas hadin. Why is it midas hadin? Well, that's what I said, this is rachman also. This is rachman for this person. Kima betza, what's going to be gained if you don't punish him, he says. He'll never wake up. He'll continue to do what he's doing. And then eternally he'll be doomed. Haloi oz yosef roh al roh. Loif an asheni, but in the other situation when Hashem says, you know what? I don't have to punish him. I know he's going to come to his senses. He's going to come to his senses the regular way. He's going to understand. He's going to regret it. He'll change his ways. Then we say it's midas harachamim. Guess what? For that other person who has a seichel to rectify his ways the other way, midas hadin also agrees. It's not just midas harachamim. So midas hadin also agrees. He does not need to be punished. Abiga punished. Why throw him in jail? If he can be rehabilitated in wonderful surroundings. If he has where to gain, who to teach him, who to be positive influence on him. So he says, so midas hadin, he says, we call it midas harachamim if he was not punished. No. Haligam hadin yaskim loze. Why? Because achrish kol ikra kavona b'mishpat. Because the intent of justice is that man turns to be good. The question is, what's going to bring it? Sometimes midas hadin is going to cause it, and sometimes midas harachamim is able to achieve it. And if rachamim is able to achieve it, then midas hadin agrees. Because Hashem is not here just to punish l'shem punishment. Hashem is here to achieve change in man's behavior. So Mamela, he says, being that the kavon of mishpat is lehete voisonu lesaknoi, the mefcha she has a tshuva v'yisukin boifinzeh, lomo lomo anishoi. Why punish him? I beg you, punish it. Why? Aval ein shum efsheris. But don't think Shetia midas harachlam achelas lagamer sachet. We think midas harachlam. You know what? He sinned. Hashem says, "Oh, midas harachlam. I'm going to forget about it." There's no such thing. There's no such thing that we think. In our thinking, most of midas harachlam says, Hashem says, "You know, you sinned. I'm going to forget about it." No. Midas harachlam means Hashem says, "I don't have to punish you." That's what it means. Doesn't mean I'm going to forget about your sin. It means I don't have to punish it because you yourself are going to forget about it. You yourself are going to do something about it. You yourself are going to change your ways. And if you're that kind of a person, Hashem recognizes you have it within you. You have that potential. So Midas HaDin also agrees. But we call it Midas HaRachamim. Because why? Because he wasn't hurt. Midas HaDin also agrees. Midas HaDin is not interested just to exact punishment. Midas HaDin wants to bring a person to tshuva. And Midas HaRachamim wants the same thing. Which road? Depends on the person. No two roads are equally alike. The series that we gain from here obviously is that Kadosh Baruch Hu waits to see where we're at, where our lev is, and therefore we have the bechira to choose the right way and to be mekayim, and we should be zoyche ubacharto bachayim, and then we'll be zoyche take the midas harachmim, which is also midas hadin, is maskil.